Let me ask to return to the stage our good friend, your good friend, Brother John Nichols.
Here he is.
All right. So you haven't heard anything from me yet. Brothers and sisters, it's unnecessary for me to say very much about the next speaker because most of you are wearing T-shirts or holding signs with his name on it. But I will tell you this. There was once a time when Russ Feingold was thought of as politically doomed. It was back in 2001 at one of the darkest and most difficult times in America's history. And the United States Senate was asked to vote for a USA Patriot Act that had the potential to do tremendous damage to our basic constitutional protections. It was a proposal that was ill thought. Most senators did not read it. One senator read the Patriot Act and alone stood against the rest of the entire United States Senate to say, I will defend the Constitution of the United States. I will not put politics and the fears of a moment ahead of the basic liberties of this country. And when that senator came back to Wisconsin, he had national news media following him. They were all saying, well, we want to see what happens to a senator who gave up his seat as an act of principle. A senator who will be defeated because he went against all the pressures of the moment. And you know what happened when he came back to Wisconsin? He was greeted with cheering crowds and people slapping him on the back because unlike other members of the Senate, Russ Feingold goes to every one of Wisconsin's 72 counties every year, and he does so because he wants to be in touch with Wisconsin. And when Russ Feingold does the right thing, he does the Wisconsin thing. Russ Feingold voted against the war in Iraq. Russ Feingold voted against the trade deals that have taken our jobs away. Russ Feingold voted against getting rid of Glass-Steagall, and then he voted against inept and inappropriate banking reforms because they didn't go far enough. We have one senator who has stood alone, and sometimes politics hasn't always rewarded him. He hadn't always won every election. We understand that. But I'll tell you one thing. If Russ Feingold goes back to the U.S. Senate, he's going to go hunt down his friend John Conyers from Detroit, and they're going to reintroduce the bill they reintroduced back in the 1990s, back to almost 20 years ago, to make sure that our police departments do their job and treat every citizen, no matter what their race, well, to make sure that we address unemployment in our inner cities. And brothers and sisters, he's going to go back there and work for our rural areas, everybody that's been left behind. I don't want to, we're not endorsing anybody here. That is not how it works. But brothers and sisters, I think we should do a little poll here. If you are for someone other than Russ Feingold, if you don't want to see him or something like that, you can cheer now. But if it happens that you've come here to see the man I believe is the most principled political figure to rise in my lifetime in the state of Wisconsin, with the possible exception of Ed Garvey. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, please welcome Russ Feingold.
Thank you. Thank you, my friends. You know, 2016 has been, in some ways, a pretty good year so far, and this is how I measure it. It's whether I get to go to both Bob Fests. And I got to go in late May, not only to the Bob Fest over in Spring Green, but I got to speak at it. And I'm not exactly an expert on music, but that was a thrill. But let's face it, as great as Bob Dylan is, he's a Minnesota guy. This Bob Fest is about a great Wisconsin guy fighting Bob La Follette. And I want to thank the organizers for the 15th year in a row. You know, when my family came to this state in 1917, Fighting Bob was already a great national progressive figure. And my family came here to Janesville, Wisconsin. Yay! Janesville! My father was 5 years old, and he went to grade school, to kindergarten, and he flunked twice. He was not an unintelligent person. All he knew was Yiddish. They had the worst English to Yiddish, Yiddish to English program in Janesville in 1917. They just didn't get their act together yet on that. So I'm from an immigrant family. Notice I didn't say my grandfather. My father couldn't speak English. That's right. But they became imbued. Yes, he did become a lawyer. They became imbued as an immigrant family with a great political tradition, the progressive tradition. That became part of our family. And my dad had very few regrets, but he kept saying every once in a while, one time I had a chance to hear Fightin' Bob La Follette speak and I did something else. He regretted it to the end of his days because he worshiped Fightin' Bob La Follette. He was a page in the Capitol for Phil La Follette when he was the youngest governor in the United States. And he was a very active member of the Progressive Party in Rock County. In fact, he ran for district attorney on the progressive ticket. He didn't win, but he had this wavy black hair. I thought it looked pretty good on his literature. So he stuck with the progressives until they disbanded, of course, in 1946. And those who became Democrats tried to start winning elections, but they weren't doing very well. In fact, in 1952, my dad told me that he was over at Jim Doyle Sr.'s house. And everybody in the room lost that night. Horace Wilkie, Gaylord Nelson, apparently Bill Proxmire, Tom Fairchild, Pat Lucy. They all were sticking together, but they lost that night. And apparently I was there too, in utero. So the roots go deep, my friends. A family 100 years as progressives. 100 years next year. And we all know of some of the great innovations that the progressive movement brought. The first workers' compensation laws, the first unemployment compensation laws, utility regulation, and yes, as I like to say so proudly, it was up there on Bascom Hill where the Wisconsin idea lives despite our governor's problems with it. It was up on Bascom Hill where the basic ideas that created Social Security came. That's a Wisconsin progressive achievement that we should be enormously proud of, my friends. So we know the progressive movement from what it has achieved, but we also know the progressive movement from what has been taken from us in the last few years. We're progressives who made sure that this became the first state to create public employee collective bargaining, but Act 10 brutalized that and destroyed it. And then they went after a 100-year tradition and law of civil service to avoid corruption, just what the progressives believed in. They took it away under the Walker administration. They weakened environmental protection. The DNR is not standing for the environment, it's standing the other way. They've taken away our campaign finance laws. They turned us into a right-to-work state and took away our prevailing wage law. You name it, they did it. And they jumped the shark by cutting $250 million out of the great University of Wisconsin system. And even though I am a proud Badger and I am proud to be from the Madison campus, make no mistake, all across this state, this has hurt campuses everywhere in the state, from Platteville to Superior to Green Bay. You know it. This is devastating to the great University of Wisconsin system. So our progressive tradition has been harmed, our community has been harmed, and we have been divided. Every speaker's talked about it, but it bears repetition. The Koch brothers have achieved an unfriendly takeover of the state of Wisconsin, and we have got to turn it around. And I decided I was ready to reengage and help with the effort to reverse this awful trend here in Wisconsin and across the United States of America. But the only way I felt comfortable doing that is to make sure I did as much as I could, maybe more than anyone else, to first listen to what people cared about in 2015 and 2016. So I went to all 72 counties last year, all 72 counties this year, and we've been to about half of them again. We're listening. We don't set the topic. Maybe you listen to people, what you hear is, why is the infrastructure of this country crumbling? Why do we have the fourth worst roads in the country, according to some studies? I know they're rough because I've been 50,000 miles, and it kind of hurts. The bridges, 14% of our bridges are defective. Talk to farmers in Prairie du Chien and hear about how they can't even use some of the bridges near their farm because we haven't invested. But the one I heard the most about that maybe I didn't expect is if you really listen to the people of the state, they'll tell you something has become essential. It's not a frill. It's not an extra. It's not cable TV. It's called the internet. We need fast speed internet for every single person in this state and in this country. There are up to 1 million Wisconsinites who do not have this. This makes it very tough on a business person. It makes it very tough on a student. You know, I've heard in several places, I mentioned Prairie du Chien, but also Ocano Falls and up in Antigo. Same story. They say that people sometimes in high school, young people, they'll go home for dinner after high school, a couple miles out of town. But then they come back home, back after dinner. And they park in the parking lot of the high school or the technical school or the library. And there's a bunch of cars there. And they're not up to no good. It's not like being on the circuit in Janesville back in the day. Right? It's not that. They're just trying to get Wi-Fi. They're just trying to compete. Because if they can't, there's no way they can beat as students or business people. This needs to be guaranteed. This needs to be a utility. In the spirit of Bob La Follette, we have to break up the monopoly that is dominating the internet and get fast speed internet. I love pointing out that when I was in high school, my mother might say to me, "Do you have any homework?" In those days, the internet was something called the World Book. Some families had the Encyclopedia Britannica, but we had the World Book. What's your assignment? Do a paper on Tunisia. Okay. Go downstairs after dinner, brush off tea. There's a paragraph there. Copy it over. I'm done. That is not the world our young people are living in. They go up to Google and they say, Tunisia, they get, 500 articles? They have to know how to sift and winnow that. But you can't even begin that process and learn those analytical skills if you do not have the ability to look at it and understand it and manipulate it on fast-speed internet. So the time has come to make sure that the people like Senator Johnson, who actually signed a letter calling for a slower internet, which nobody actually has asked for. I mean, it's funny. Nobody wants to slow it down. It's not too fast for them. My friends, this is an extension of the great progressive tradition. We've got to make sure that municipalities and co-ops and, yes, the rural electrics who gave electricity throughout this state, that they are empowered by an act of Congress to provide fast-speed internet. This is one of the most important issues that we have. Another one I didn't expect to hear as much about is water. Well, of course, there's a lot of water out there in Wisconsin. I mean, think about our state. We have some of the greatest bodies of water for our borders of any place in the world. Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, the Mississippi River, the St. Croix River. You know, the Minnesotans put on their, I'm sorry I'm beating up on Minnesota here today, but the Minnesotans brag on their license plate that they have 10,000 lakes. We have more. We just don't brag about it. So water is usually something that makes you smile, right? Clean, good water. The people of the state are scared to death about their water right now. If you live in Kewaunee County and you have contaminated wells and brown waters coming out of your shower, you're not very happy. If you're up on Lake Superior and Ashland or Bayfield, and they're trying to put a 30,000 hog CAFO up above those six watersheds, you're not very happy. If you're in Menominee and you have a beautiful lake there that you've been had a family home for generations, and all of a sudden it's blue and green algae that can kill an animal and make a child sick, you're not very happy. If there are lead pipes in places like Green Bay, and you drink water out of those lead, your children drink water out of those lead pipes, you're not very happy. This is serious, serious business. When Senator Johnson was asked in Kewaunee County, the county where this is happening, what to do about this, he said, well, we need to grow the economy and have less regulation. I mean, John talked about the fact that Tammy holds the seat of Fightin' Bob LaFollette. Well, Senator Johnson holds the seat of Gaylord Nelson, the father of Earth Day, and that's his response. And yes, if you listen to the people of this state, overwhelmingly, they have finally decided no more of these corporate handshake trade agreements anymore. They know that I opposed NAFTA and all these trade deals even under Bill Clinton, and I opposed it under Barack Obama because I'm a Wisconsin independent, and Wisconsin independents come first, Wisconsin workers come first, and we have lost 75,000 manufacturing jobs to these trade deals. So I oppose the TPP. Senator Johnson has voted for all the trade deals that have come before him, including the Korea deal that's been very hard on our steel workers. But now suddenly he's kind of clammed up. And he says that he's really reviewing this thing. And it's going to take him till the middle of November. But we know he wants to vote for it. He just doesn't want to tell you the truth, which is he loves these deals. He voted for Fast Track. He's ready to send those jobs overseas. I will fight it. We will defeat that agreement. We will only take good deals for workers. And yes, my friends, traveling across Wisconsin is without a doubt one of life's great treats for me. The beauty, the people, and yes, too often the food. But while I enjoy every part of the state, the North Woods of Wisconsin are particularly special to me. If you drive north and head towards Superior, Ashland, or Lac des Flambeaux, driving past the lakes and the forest, you feel that wonderful peace and serenity of northern Wisconsin, the kind of place that Lori Carlson, who later came to Dane County, but back in the day was an assemblyman from up in that area in the progressive tradition. But there's also some striking history. Almost none of northern Wisconsin's forestation is original, because in the late 1800s, massive logging operations cleared almost all of the old growth forest away. And yes, we know the logging operations helped build some of America's cities. This is well told in Professor Bill Cronin's book about Chicago. And yes, it helped launch Wisconsin's paper industry. But it also created some of America's original robber barons, a small group of very rich men who tried to use their riches to rig our political system for their own benefit. With unchecked power, this small group of men changed the landscape of Wisconsin forever. Yet in those days, democracy stood up and stood strong. And in 1907, Congress passed the Tillman Act, sponsored by Fightin' Bob, signed by Teddy Roosevelt, which prohibited corporations and robber barons that owned them from spending unlimited corporate money on elections. Well, we know what happened. It was good law, as far as anybody could tell. Nobody had suggested it wasn't a legitimate statute. until all of a sudden five members of the Supreme Court in 2010 said, oh, in Citizens United, we're going to just overturn the Tillman Act and open the floodgates for corporate money to buy our elections. I cannot believe that they did this. To see how Citizens United has created a new era of robber barons, we just need to look right here to Wisconsin. A new story that was published this week in The Guardian shows us even more detail about how modern era barons like the Koch brothers have exploited Citizens United to buy our state government and do their work through politicians like Governor Scott Walker. In fact, the Koch brothers alone have spent over $44 million here supporting politicians like Walker and Senator Ron Johnson. Now, what's their goal in addition to the things I've already listed? They want to do more. They want to privatize Social Security. Senator Johnson says it's a shame that it wasn't privatized. They want to actually eliminate the federal minimum wage, which is already ridiculously low at $7.25. They want to gut our environmental protections and keep the giveaways to the oil and gas companies. That's $40 billion over 10 years for something that simply isn't needed. And they want to strip workers of their fundamental rights. Once again, another very small group of very rich men want everything for themselves, and apparently they will use every bit of their power to do it. But we will not let this happen. We will not let this happen. We know how to protect our democracy. In the years leading up to Citizens United, we saw the beginning of a new age of democracy. Senator McCain and I led an effort to ban politicians from being able to ask for unlimited contributions for the political parties. And the internet provided a gateway for people to get involved. That law and that power still exists. The result before Citizens United was that hundreds of thousands of people began engaging in the political process who never had before, whether it was volunteering for a favorite candidate, donating $5 or $10, or commenting on their blog, many for the first time. So the power structure in 2004 and 2006 and 2008 was changing. Corporate America took a different view, though. Corporate America saw the face of democracy, and they were terrified. So what did they do? They responded with the Citizens United decision so they could cling to power. Here in Wisconsin, we know they have Governor Walker, but today's robber barons have also hijacked our state Supreme Court. Our legislature now does their bidding, and some have called Senator Johnson their, quote, model legislator. He's their model legislator. Dark money groups think they own Wisconsin. And now, after they've done that, they think they can buy the rest of the country, too. It's on us to prove them wrong. For our democracy to work for everyone, we have to work together to protect it. There will be always those trying to tilt the playing field to their own advantage. No matter the issue, when a small group of these people try to buy democracy, all of us are affected. This week's story in The Guardian didn't tell me anything new about Governor Walker or the Koch brothers or the opposition's plans for Wisconsin, as disturbing as it was. But even though I didn't need it, it gave me even more motivation to fight as hard as I can for the next 50 days and beyond. My friends, the very integrity of democracy is at stake. Governor Walker and my opponent, Senator Ron Johnson, have repeatedly shown that they will always side with the small group of billionaires and corporations trying to control our democracy over the Wisconsin citizens they're supposed to serve. So every time I travel through the North Woods of Wisconsin, I'm reminded that we must once again take our democracy out of the hands of today's modern-day robber barons, the corporations, the multimillionaires, and the special interest groups, and put it back in the hands of the people. If we work together, I know we can win in November and forge a path towards overturning Citizens United once and for all. My friends, this isn't a dream. It's 4-4 in that Supreme Court now. If we get the job done, a new president, a Democrat president, Hillary Clinton, will choose those justices. And that decision's going down. It's going down. We're going to get our democracy back. Remember, when Fightin' Bob confronted the robber barons, it was described as an era known as the Gilded Age. Well, if that's the Gilded Age, this is the Gilded Age on steroids. The progressives beat them back 100 years ago. They defeated them. They protected the people. We will rise again with a progressive movement starting on November 8th that will do the same and get rid of this awful system that has been created by Citizens United. Thanks so much. Thanks, Bob Fest.
Russ Feingold, everybody.